Amen. Well, I appreciate all of your prayers for me this last week as I have been sick. I appreciate all the emails and texts and calls, and appreciate all your concern. Well, let's turn to 1 Chronicles 23. 1 Chronicles 23. And verse 27, 1 Chronicles 23, 27. And let's see, Brother Titus, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Amen. 1 Chronicles 23, 27. For by the last words of David, the Levites were numbered from 20 years old and above, because their office was to wait on the sons of Aaron for the service of the house of the Lord in the courts and in the chambers and in the purifying of all holy things and the work of the service of the house of God, both for the show bread and for the fine flour, for meat offering, and for the unleavened cakes, and for that which is baked in the pan, and for that which is fried, and for all manner of measure and size, and to stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord, and likewise at even, and to offer all burnt sacrifices unto the Lord in the Sabbaths, in the new moons, and on the set feasts, by number according to the order commanded unto them continually before the Lord, and that they should keep the charge of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the charge of the holy place, and the charge of the sons of Aaron their brethren, in the service of the house of the Lord. Well, we're talking here about the Levites. Verse 27 says, for by the last words of David, the Levites were numbered. So the Levites, it was their job to minister, to serve, to be the assistants of the sons of Aaron, the priest. And wow, what a job description. You see all their duties here? It's pretty amazing. Verse 28 says, because their office was to wait on the sons of Aaron for the service of the house of the Lord. And then it begins saying, in the courts, in the chambers, in the purifying of all holy things, and the work of the service of the house of God. It goes on and on. I mean, they have one duty right after another. And, you know, sometimes it made me think of doctors. Sometimes we think that doctors are really busy, and I know many of them probably are. But in my years of being in doctors' offices and in pre-op rooms, praying with people before surgery, I would have to say there's some people that are busier than the doctors. Who is it? The nurses. They are scurrying around getting paperwork filled out, signatures, getting the patient prepped, getting supplies there. They are busy, busy, busy. Getting IVs started. When is the last time you've ever seen a doctor start an IV? The only time I think I may have was an anesthesiologist. But even then, the last surgery that I had, he saw me, but he didn't start the IV. It was one of his assistants. And so that probably answers the question. When I got the bill for the last surgery that I had, the nurse anesthetist bill was bigger than the doctor anesthesiologist bill. And I actually called the hospital and I said, why is this? And I don't know why I even called, because I know they do more work than the doctor does, but it just seemed weird. You know, I paid the nurses more than I paid the doctor who was responsible. And but I understand. They probably are just tired of doing all the work and not getting all the pay. So now they're getting like all the pay, I guess. At least in that hospital they were. So, well, the Levites to the priest we're like the nurses to these doctors. And like in the dentist's office, I think of, you know, all the work that the dental assistants do before the dentist comes in, and even during procedures. I've had a couple crowns, and I think of all that the assistants do, and not to minimize at all what the dentists do. I actually have a husband-wife team that are our dentists now. Our other dentists retired, but and they do an excellent job, and I do not mean to demean the dentists at all, but I'm just saying the assistants do a lot of work. And I'm just trying to get you to appreciate what the Levites did. They did a lot of work around the temple and tabernacle area and for the priest. So we need to appreciate this and think about it. Now in verse 29, it says, this is still continues there, the Levites' job description. It says, both for the showbread and for the fine flour, for meat offering, and for the unleavened cakes, and for that which is baked in the pan, and for that which is fried, and for all manner of measure and size. Now, I have a feeling that men and women see this verse differently. Now, what do you see when you read verse 29? Do you see food, or do you see flour? Do you see food, or do you see a counter that is a mess with dirty bowls and rolling pins and a sink full of dirty mixing bowls and kneading bowls and pans? What do you see? I have a feeling guys see verse 29 as food. Ha! I have a feeling that ladies see verse 29 as work. I mean, there's a lot of work that goes into all that verse 29 describes. Well, the Levites would have been responsible for doing the kneading and measuring out all the flour and preparing the pans, letting things rise. Of course, in the tabernacle here, is concerning leaven, you wouldn't have that instance in there. So I don't know how much time they would give things in that regard. But then it would be the Levites' job to clean up. So, you know, it's kind of like when my wife makes a apple, whatever it's called, it's good. I could sit down and eat the whole thing. But if I eat it too quick, it's kind of discouraging to her because she'd put a lot of work into it. I mean, from my perspective, I'm thinking, my wife is probably really happy. I really like this, and I'm eating it so fast. But I'm only looking at it from the food aspect. She's looking at it from all the labor aspects. So it's better to meet it out or proportion it out. But verse 30 deals with a very important aspect also of their job description. Verse 30 says, and to stand when? Every morning to thank and praise the Lord, and likewise what? At even. If you read this passage, the Levites were busy, busy, busy. They had a job description that never ended from daylight to dusk. But you know what the Lord asked them to do? Verse 30. Every morning, stand and thank and praise the Lord. And at every evening, stand and praise and thank the Lord. Now, do we do that? Or in the morning, do we think, oh, well, I have such a busy day. I'm already started exhausted just thinking about it. Do you ever start a day like that? God wanted them to stand and praise and thank the Lord. And at every even. Now, why did he ask them to do it? Well, I've learned some things from this time of sickness. Number one, to be thankful to the Lord for giving strength and health to serve him. I'll say that again. Number one, to be thankful to the Lord for giving strength and health to serve him. You know, the last 2 years around here has been some of the busiest years of my life. And which sounds strange because during this whole COVID ordeal, you'd think, well, a lot of churches have been shut down at times and greatly limited in ministry during this whole ordeal. But for most of the Sundays of 2020 and 2021, we've had six services to do every Sunday. We've had Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, plus three different assisted living nursing facilities producing three different messages. So a different message, it wasn't a rehash, it was a different message for each one of those facilities every Sunday. And I did not preach all those messages myself. Many of the men here helped in those messages during those 2 years. And I praise the Lord for all the co-laborers. But it still involved a lot of time, recording, processing video, getting the videos to each of these facilities, making sure. Things really didn't slow down until the second wave of COVID hit and these places closed down again. And then it was like, you know, they just totally closed except extended care, which we still try to get a DVD to them. And then there was still the Wednesday night prayer meetings as well. And this last year, the Lord had just laid it on my heart to try to record daily Bible reading to help people get through the Bible. The first reason the Lord laid it on my heart was for the elderly in these facilities who can't read a Bible. I mean, we offer to buy them free Bibles, and they just say that they can't read. So I just thought if we could get it audio to them and in video on a monitor screen where it's large, the letters, that it could help them get through the Bible. I mean, think about us. If suddenly our eyesight was gone and we couldn't read the Bible, think what our days would be like if we couldn't hear the Word of God or read it every day. I can't imagine what that would be like, but that's the situation of many of these elderly people. And then the Lord put it on my heart also, think about little children. I thought, wouldn't it be wonderful if little children just learning how to read could actually get through the Bible in a year? How are they going to pronounce those big names? They never would. So put it on video and audio and let them watch it. Let them read along and hear those words pronounced. And so the Lord excited my heart about that. And then I thought, and people on the way to work or anywhere, listening to the Bible. What I thought about at first, people on the way to work and trying to fill their minds with the Word of God before they face many times all kinds of ungodly co-workers. And so that excited my heart. And so I determined this last year to, by God's grace, read through the Bible and video and record it. And so the Lord worked that out this last year. I was able to do it for every day. And the Lord, and my wife even commented on it toward the end of the year, wow, the Lord's gotten you through this whole year, health-wise, to be able to do that. Somebody told me along the line that, well, and which I know this, there are lots of people who have recorded the Bible, in audio at least. I don't know how many on video where you can watch it too. But, and one of them told me, he said, yeah, there's this one, this great voice. It's the same guy who played Darth Vader in the movies. And, well, I don't know who Darth Vader is. But according to this guy, he has a really deep, nice voice. But I'm thinking, I think he said this guy played the bad guy in the movies. And I thought, why would I want to listen to a movie star who plays the bad guy in movies read the Word of God? I wouldn't want to hear that. That'd be like hearing Elvis Presley sing, you know, How Great Thou Art, or Just As I Am. And I know you young people may not even know who that was. But imagine some ungodly rock star today singing some gospel song. I mean, some really wicked, ungodly. It doesn't match, does it? And I thought, I wouldn't want to listen to someone read the Word of God who isn't even saved. I mean, obviously to them, then the Bible is just like a book of fairy tales. So what would it mean to them? So why would I want to listen to them? So in other words, the only reason they read it through was for money. And the Bible calls that a hireling. So I want my life to be different than that. But let's if you hold your place here, let's go to Hebrews 11. So anyway, the Lord, these last 2 years have been like busy. Late nights, recording, uploading. But the Lord touched my heart with this verse, Hebrews 11:4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet what? Yet speaketh. So when I'm gone, I want a testimony like Abel's. I want a testimony that still speaks and brings people to Christ. That's why I like handing out and sending out gospel tracts. We have several, Brother Jerry Bond's life story, Sister Laura's, Mrs. Verberg's, Brother Rector's, Sister Kathy's, probably missing so many more. And we're anxious to write as many more as we can, life stories. But that's why I like handing these out, is because these who are with the Lord, Brother Jerry and Brother Miller and Brother Rector, it's exciting that their life story is still speaking for the Lord. Who knows how many have been saved just since they've gone to heaven because of their life story is still speaking. So what has this time of sickness taught me? Number one, to be thankful to the Lord for giving strength and health to serve him. Just like these Levites, I mean, they were so busy, but they were to be thankful. And I have been. I can't tell you how many times in these last 2 years when I've thought about, I can't get all this done. But I would say, Lord, but I thank you for something to do for you, that there's something to do. Number two, this time of sickness has taught me to be thankful for so many friends and co-laborers in the work of the Lord. As I said, for all those who texted and emailed and communicated that they were praying, what an encouragement. Then my wife had to make some phone calls when I suddenly got so sick last Saturday, and each one she called was ready and willing to fill in and preach and teach. What a blessing. I thought, you know, what Brother Scholl would give to have guys in Greenland like that. I mean, when he came back to the States last time, there was no one to fill in and preach and teach. Think about Brother Snyder down in Honduras. Will he and his wife and whole family ever get the chance to come back as a family to the States at one time, all at one time? I'm sure they would love to have that opportunity, but they need co-laborers to be able to do that. And then number three, it's taught me to be thankful for rest when our work is done. And back back here in 1 Chronicles and 23 and verse 30, and to stand every morning and to thank and praise the Lord, and likewise at even. I was really feeling lousy Saturday, but when my wife finished making all those calls and everything was lined up, I just had such a peace come over me. It was like everything is tended to. Everything is covered. And it just, the Lord gave such a peace and a rest. And it just, it brought home to my heart, number one, never complain when we're busy for the Lord. Be thankful that we can be busy for him. And then number two, it reminded me of, you know, when our time here is done, there is going to be such a wonderful rest for each one of us when our time here is done serving the Lord. Notice in Revelation 14. Revelation 14. You know, when you're in a school situation, and especially if you're in a beyond high school and studies, sometimes it just seems like there is so much load on you for your studies. It seems impossible to get it all done. And then when it's finally done, it's like, whoa, what a load lifted. Well, Revelation 14:13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may what? Rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Hey, have you ever, in a day or an evening, have you ever just relaxed and rested and not felt like you were being lazy and, you know, not doing something you should be up doing? Well, I guess my makeup is kind of that way. You know, if I'm just sitting around, there's always so much to do. But it just, during this time of sickness, I knew there was nothing I could do. And there was just such a peace, like, it's okay. It's okay just to sit and rest. And so what should we do today? Well, Psalm 100. Psalm 100. And verse 2, Psalm 100, let's go to verse 1, Psalm 100, we'll just read the whole chapter here. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with what? Gladness. Come before his presence with singing. I appreciated so much the live stream while I was sick. From the very starting of the music that played before the service started, the song leading, the congregational singing, the instruments that these mics pick up, and then the preaching. And I wish we could continue on to the live stream for announcements and through the whole service, but I understand some of the prayer requests are things you don't necessarily want out to the whole world, everything that's said, but what a blessing the live stream is to those that have to be home. And I appreciated that so much. Verse 3, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. So while I was laid aside, I was listening to you singing the hymns and proclaiming the truth. And it reminds me there, his truth endureth to all generations. So let's praise the Lord. And just one more time back in 1 Chronicles 23. In verse 30, I want you to think about the Levites. I want you to never think about the Levites in the same way you did before. I want you to think about how hardworking these people were, the Levites. What their job was. Extremely busy. And I'm sure they didn't get the glory that the priests did. You know, sometimes we get the wrong idea in our minds, you know. Many times you may think about the priests in the Old Testament of wearing, well, like what I am, I'm wearing a black suit, but you might think of them wearing a black robe and, you know, kind of acting more like monks in medieval times. But, you know, the priests, you read about their apparel and and blue and purple and crimson with gold. And I mean, the priests in the Old Testament were dressed like kings, with the high priest having the gold plate on his mitre, and it often refers to that plate as his crown. So the priest, I mean, when people see the priest, they're dressed like kings. What about the Levites? It never says the Levites were dressed like that, like kings. But they did all this work, in verse 30, and then to stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord, and likewise at even. They were doing so much work, but God called them to be the ones. Praise the Lord at the beginning of the day, praise the Lord at the end of the day. And I pray that we will do that same thing. You know what's interesting? When they went back to rebuild the temple after the Babylonians had destroyed it, do you know who one group was that went back willingly? Solomon's servants. Solomon's servants. So God had used Solomon to build the temple, but it was Solomon's servants and their children that were some of the first ones to volunteer to go back and rebuild. Do you know what that shows me? It shows me that Solomon's servants were not murmuring and complaining against Solomon. They were enjoying the work, just like the Levites. They were enjoying serving the Lord. Did they have a lot to do? Yes, they did. But they were enjoying it. In fact, so much so that when the opportunity came for people to volunteer to go back and rebuild the temple, it was Solomon's servants were some of the first ones. I'll go back. They missed that. They didn't say, oh, I don't want anything to do with that. That was, you know, hard labor, no thanks. No, they wanted to go back. I pray that we would love serving the Lord, and I pray that our children would grow up to love to serve the Lord. May we never complain about serving the Lord, but enjoy it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you so much that there is something to do in your work. And Lord, please open our eyes to other things and all that you want us to do. Lord, there may be so many things that many, many more things that we could do to get out your word. Lord, we thank you that as far as our salvation, there's nothing more we can do. We thank you that Jesus, when he died on the cross, said, "It is finished." He did the work on the cross. He paid the price. Jesus, God Almighty in the flesh, born of a miraculous virgin birth, lived a perfect life and then died on that cross for our sin, was buried and rose again victorious, proving that his blood was enough to wash away our sins and pay the full death penalty, and the death could not hold him. He rose from the grave. Father, I pray if there should be any here tonight that have never received Jesus Christ, never placed their faith in him, I pray tonight they would do so. Lord, help us as Christians to gladly serve you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.